Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. I'm Dizzy, here to welcome you, of course, with my co-host, guest. A few things to note. We are a Catholic podcast, and I mean that in the loosest way possible. Yeah. We will talk about Catholic things. You don't have to be Catholic to listen. Yeah. We use grown-up language, so be aware if you don't like that.
Yeah.
You won't like us.
We are salty, angry, yes. Cursy, blaspheming Catholics.
Yeah, you've been warned.
But if you're actually a nice person, you're welcome to listen.
Yeah, we should like to hear your perspective, too.
Yeah.
All right. So, what are you drinking, good sir?
Well, today I'm drinking a Bloody Mary because this is, if I'm not mistaken, our first ever, like, morning recording session.
Morning show!
And I'm just kind of wondering, like, why have we not done this before?
I don't know.
Because waking up and recording our lovely voices while we hammer down some Bloody Marys is just a great plan.
New church drunk.
Yeah.
First thing in the morning.
So, Bloody Marys.
Bloody Marys. Here, here. Start your weekend off right.
Now, I have a question for you.
Okay.
About the Bloody Mary, actually.
Sure.
There is some dispute about this between Mrs. Guess and myself.
Oh.
When is an appropriate time to have a Bloody Mary, and is there an appropriate time to not have, or is there an inappropriate time for Bloody Mary?
This seems like a fraught question that is silly, because it's always appropriate to have a Bloody Mary.
Right. Yes.
They're traditionally a breakfast or brunch
thing,
but I think a lot of people like them on airplanes, which is anytime, and a lot of people like them anytime that they want. It's a nice, refreshing,
Mrs. Guest,
tomatoey,
I'm not going to throw out accusations, so she may or may not be a fan of ordering it as, like, an evening cocktail. And I'm like, whoa, the sun is down, and you're not allowed to have a Bloody Mary. That's my rule, like unless you're on an airplane.
Right, like, time, case, as I was saying it, I thought time is actually kind of suspended when you're even in an airport, so I guess it doesn't count.
Airplanes, airports.
But in Mrs. Guess's defense, I have been to restaurants where, like, it's their thing, and I have certainly seen other people enjoy them at other hours. But usually, I would say, it's a day drinking.
It's a daylight beverage.
It's the start to your day drinking.
Yeah.
That's how I like to think of it.
Yeah. Well, email us at churchdrunk.com. When do you drink your Bloody Marys?
Yes.
That's not our main topic for today.
No, and in fact, there's not even a good segue, because we want to talk about Catholic Schools Week.
I think there's a great segue between waking up and drinking and Catholic Schools Week.
What percentage of Catholic school graduates drink Bloody Marys at all times of the day?
Right,
I'm guessing it's rather high.
Probably high. Yeah, it's probably high. So it's we're on the eve of Catholic Schools Week here.
Yes, and the theme is, like, celebrating something each day starting Sunday, and we're like, okay, well, we're the vigil, and obviously you should celebrate booziness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, we kind of bring, we've talked a little bit about Catholic schools before and our experience of Catholic schools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a Catholic school lifer. You arrived a little bit later to the party for Catholic schools.
I had a solid 3 or 4 years of public school elementary education.
You grew up as a pagan baby, but then
I did.
Decided to go to a real school.
Right. I was an apostate for like 5 years there.
But, you know, like we kind of have, it's like the mafia, you know, like just when you think you've gotten out of the Catholic school system, it pulls you back
they
in.
They suck you back in. Well, I think.
So Catholic Schools Week is like important to us, but not really because you know.
Okay, so this whole week is like the hallmark holidays of Catholic celebrations. Like, it actually doesn't mean anything liturgically.
Right.
I'm fairly certain that this is a ploy of the NCEA, which is great. Not knocking the NCEA, but I think that's the National Catholic Education Association.
Yeah.
It's like their ploy for, like, promoting things. It's like when Hallmark was like, man, there's that big slump in May and June. Let's get some parent holidays in there.
Right.
Catholic Schools Week is like, January.
Yeah.
Not quite Lent. Past Christmas looks like a good time for some self-promotion.
Yeah.
So.
And as a Catholic school lifer, I have been celebrating Catholic Schools Week most years of my life since first grade.
Wow.
You know, like, it's always like, oh, hey, guys, it's Catholic Schools Week. And I'm always like, but what is it? Why? At what point did Jesus say that you should hang out and have a special week for the type of education that you're receiving?
Yeah, well, we're not a solo scripturis, dear guest, so we don't have to, like, the magisterium at some point endorse Catholic school education.
Yeah.
So, actually, though, I think Catholics education is kind of a cool thing in the United States.
It has an interesting history,
something that we actually should and are proud of.
Yes. And we talked this past week with a few folks about kind of the history of not just the Catholic school system, but the history of education in the church, you know, and there are actually a lot of saints who their jam was education.
Right.
Like, they knew that education was the avenue to a better life for the people that they saw around them. And so they would found schools. You know, St. Elizabeth Seton is one that, you know, gets a lot of credit in the United States for helping to form the Catholic school system that we have. And I think you mentioned St. John Bosco.
St. John Bosco in Italy, who I think saw it as first, like, helping orphans.
Right.
So that was the other part. Like, Catholic education comes out of this desire to answer the gospel call of helping the least of these, which are often, like, kids.
Right.
I mean, when St. Elizabeth Ann Seton was starting out, you know, children were not, like, this precious commodity kind of like they are today. They were, like, this little workforce.
Right.
Or they were left home alone and running the streets and getting into all kind of trouble.
Yeah.
So it was more of an evangelization tool. And then as I think our social teaching evolves in Catholicism, we start putting more value on education itself.
Yeah.
As a part of your dignity as a person. Well, you should be able to read and write good.
Even if you go back before the Catholic school system sort of got a foundation and was established, there was, you know, the Catholic Church was still your avenue to education in a lot of settings, right? Like, you would not be educated unless you went and joined the, you know, convent or the monastery, basically, you know?
Right.
So that has always kind of been part of what the church offers, that, you know, if you are interested in learning those basic skills of reading and writing, you know, it should always point you towards God, right? Like, all of your knowledge and wisdom and understanding should help you develop this relationship with God. And now we live in a world where that's not always the case, right? So the Catholic system has this sort of unique mission of being, you know, like, we want to educate people, we want to reach out, and we want to be sure that everybody that wants a really quality education and alternative to the public system has the opportunity. But also it should point you towards God. And there's a lot of private school competition where that's not really the case.
Right. I think it also comes into being like, we want to point you towards truth, right? Like, we're talking about God in the truthiness sense of God. Like, that is part of our mission as church, is the truth and beauty of the faith. And truth means education.
Yeah.
It means, you know, we're not afraid of knowledge. And I think as a Catholic, that's one of the things I am most proud of. And I think it's great.
And a lot of Catholic schools do that well.
Not
and a lot of Catholic schools do that not so well.
Right, but we can look at the world and say, hey, they're, even today, you know, most religious aren't necessarily in monasteries or nunneries.
Right.
But you can see there are a lot of religious who are also educated in a professional sense.
Yeah.
So it's cool that we have, like, physicians and nurses and scientists and business people and historians who are all, you know, religious or educated by religious.
Yeah.
That's actually a large group, I think, in the U.S. who have had some sort of Catholic education who are professionals.
Yeah.
So
it is something that, you know, like,
we should be leveraging that more.
And we should. I agree. But I think that when people think of the Catholic school system, they think of private schools, right? They think of a place of privilege, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and a lot of those people who go through the Catholic system and go on to have success in life, you know, the names that we know of people who went through the Catholic system, are people who were gonna, you know, they had a privileged start. The Catholic school system was part of that. There are still a lot of schools, if you do some digging, where they're trying to still be a private school and still reach out to the sort of lower socioeconomic reaches
and
give
service
them that opportunity
the community
for a private school education. Don't just let them continue to go through that cycle of the public school system that kind of chews you up and spits you out if you come from certain parts of
certainly
society.
Easier to fall through the cracks just because of volume and numbers.
Right, exactly. But the question is, how do you maintain a viable Catholic school system while still bringing in people who aren't really capable of paying, you know, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a year, which is what the tuition is now.
And you no longer have that very inexpensive workforce, which was the sisters, who were working for almost nothing, educating a whole generation of Catholic school kids.
So we are at a bit of a crossroads.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And different areas handle it differently, whether that's trying, like, deliberately citing a mix of students or sourcing support from the community.
Yeah.
I'll also shout out to our fave Jesuits. They have a couple community colleges going now in U.S. in Chicago, and I believe in Texas.
Yeah.
And so, or maybe it's one in New York. There's a Rupe and there's Cristo Rey, but they're trying to maybe not make it as exclusive. Like, maybe you can't do the four-year education, but you still deserve this holistic brand of education that has a faith support to it.
Right.
At the community college level. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's interesting right now because we are at a bit of a crossroads as we have lost, you know, like really in the course of the last, you know, 40, 50 years, probably lost that workforce, that free workforce. And I don't think that they necessarily anticipated the cascading effect of that, that really that would limit that, that stops your ability to reach out and minister to the poor, you know, essentially, you know, in that Catholic school system. Now it's really a privilege of the people who can pay to access that education.
Although, like you said, you know, I do know of a few, you know, elementary schools who have a lower socioeconomic population as their priority, and they're trying to strategize how can we pull this off? And there are some creative ways that that's happening.
And
so
when you compare
shout out to all of them.
Totally.
Like, well done,
totally.
People.
Keep and when you compare the Catholic system to other private schools, right? So there's the private schools that really are like,
charter schools.
We are upper echelon or charter schools. Like, you know, like we are restrictive in our environment. Mm-hmm. And most Catholic schools are trying to at least look beyond that to varying degrees of success. But, you know, I think that it's still part of the mission of what they do.
Well, and I think the main stream model of Catholic schools has been that it is not just for Catholics. I think most Catholic schools that we see today are, and even before, were for everybody. Mm-hmm. We're for just for kids. And now there are some that have kind of, you know, followed the trend that we see in a smaller group where, no, we want to be a such a staunchly this type, one type of Catholic school that it's really not hospitable to somebody who doesn't have that home life experience. Like, you couldn't just come there and experience because it's such a big buy-in.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that as nicely as I can possibly say
I think there's...
But that's a smaller number. They exist, but it's a smaller number.
I think there's some rose-colored glasses going on right now with the people who are, you know, in charge of the church in the United States, just in general. They kind of look back and they think, well, back in the day, things were better. And they look back and they would say, well, back in the day, you know, your Catholic schools had a real sense of, quote unquote, here's our new like catchphrase of the last decade, Catholic identity, right? They knew what their Catholic identity was, and they really made sure that those kids knew it too. But when you go back and you actually talk to people who went to schools at that time, they're like, oh yeah, like, this priest was so cool, and he never really, like, made me feel like I didn't belong because I wasn't Catholic or whatever, you know? And, like, there was definitely some fluidity in that system. And to look back and say we used to know what the Catholic identity was at a Catholic school, but now we've lost that, I think is a little bit ignorant of the reality of what Catholic schools have been through the years.
And the people who say, you know, we had the Baltimore Catechism, we knew all those things, those people did not hand down an authentic faith to their own children.
Right.
So that kind of brings, or some of them did, of course, but not on the whole.
Yeah.
Right? That didn't stick quite the way that you would expected to from having rote memorization, turns out. But that brings me kind of full circle to, like, the church teaching on education, for the faith at least, is parents the primary educators.
Right.
So I don't know where that leaves you, but if you are a parent, Catholic schools are a good thing. If you're a Catholic parent, they can help you with the faith, but that's still your job.
Right.
And everybody should be welcome at the table.
Well, it does come down to our experience in Catholic schools, both as students and as educators and fringe members of communities, volunteers, all the different ways that we've been involved. You learn that the apple really doesn't fall far from the tree, you know? And, like, if people are just dropping off their kids to be, you know, babysat at this private school because it's an exclusive environment, then it's not going to work out well. But for the parents who are actively engaged in what's going on in the lives of their children, and they think that that's going to be the best environment to support their faith life, it usually is okay.
Yeah, you know? It's a support.
Not always, but usually.
And sometimes it is a changing point for someone.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard and seen, you know, younger people, you know, junior high or high school age, who have no churchiness at home and maybe do become interested because of the opportunity at their Catholic school.
Yeah.
So it can work that direction as well.
Yeah.
All right. So
we're taking a look at Catholic schools.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I have, well, I don't have no experience of like public school.
You like walked by them a couple times.
I walked by them and I'm like.
You like played soccer with a public school kid once or twice.
I learned how to walk on the other side of the street.
Okay,
But I actually did go to public kindergarten.
What?
The mean streets of public school kindergarten.
That's
so,
where you got your rough edge.
Yeah, exactly. That's what hardened me.
Okay.
But Like, I literally have, like, very little knowledge of how a public school functions.
Uh-huh.
For example, I was thinking about, so we're going to do a little comparison of, like, public schools are like this, Catholic schools are like that. Right. And I was thinking about this last night, and I was like, I have had a religion class every year of my educated life all the way through to college, where I didn't have to take a religion class every semester, but then ended up getting a master's in spirituality, right? Like, so my...
They took them all.
my classes, have, my school life has always had a religion class in it, and I was thinking about it last night. I'm like, well, what are they... That gives them, like, an extra 45 minutes at every public school. Like, what do they do with that time?
Yeah.
Is that when they go, like, smoke cigarettes in the bathroom at public school? Or is that... Do they even have to smoke cigarettes in the bathroom at public school?
Yes.
Or can you just
do it
in the middle of class?
At least in elementary school, you for sure have to sneak away.
So, do you learn about, like, art and shit? Like, what do you do at public school?
I think it depends on the school. Like, you know, when I was in elementary school and public schools... You know, we had the same hours, I think, and you did have some enrichment classes, and maybe you just got more time in your classes. I'm not exactly sure. When I moved from public school to private school, the big thing that stuck out to me, and I was, you know, maybe like fourth grade-ish, was that, like, in public school, like, everybody owns all their... or doesn't own all their stuff.
Right. It
so
all
like
the school.
Like
yeah.
the school gives you supplies and oftentimes your teacher is the one buying the supplies and like the books and all that. So like there was kind of actually more respect for like belongings of the classroom than when I got to private school. I remember being like really scandalized. Like kids were like, you know, desecrating books or notebooks. I was like, oh, and the teacher's like, well, it's his. I'm like, really? Like, fascinating, this idea of private property in a
that's
public
funny.
Space.
Well, see, because that's my Mrs. Guess was raised as a pagan baby.
Right.
In public
right.
school.
Well, she was baptized. I mean,
well, yeah,
she had,
no,
like,
she wasn't, actually
she wasn't
raised
a pagan
at
home. She went to pagan school. That's
received a pagan education.
Pagan education.
And she ended up working at a Catholic school and came home from work the first day, I remember, and was like, what's wrong with these kids? And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, you tell them to sit, and they sit. You tell them to be quiet, and they're quiet. Like, they totally listen. So it's kind of like the opposite of what you had, where... It's like, what are they doing? Why are they misbehaving with their with
well,
their property?
Well, they weren't misbehaving in the sense of, like, talking out or, like,
right.
that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But the property was
interesting.
Because
you learned to shut up right good real quick at a
I was going to say,
Catholic
that
school.
Is a big difference, too. At a Catholic school, they can tell you how to do anything they want. How to sit, how to walk, how
totally.
To talk, how to not do any of those things.
Yeah.
And actually, I remember volunteering in a public school classroom. Much later, so after I had been thoroughly Catholic school educated, and seeing kids just like getting up on their own, like messing with their hair, and I'm like, oh god, that girl's gonna get it, and I'm like, oh no, she's not.
She's in a public
school, and she has agency over her own body. What?
Nobody's gonna get it. Nobody's gonna get it.
Oh my gosh. So
that's funny.
There's definitely some contradictions in what's okay and what's not.
Yeah. So we drew up a few comparisons.
Okay.
Of you know what happens at public school versus what happens at Catholic school that we hope will be enlightening and entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
The idea kind of came as we were kicking around what we should talk about yesterday when I was like, well, you know, like public school, you have the three R's, right? You got reading, writing, and arithmetic, and that's what they're trying to accomplish. You know, no longer that model, but back in the day. But like at a Catholic school, the three R's would be like ritual, reconciliation, and repenting from your like many, many sins.
Yes, like, let's count them.
Yeah, like let's sit in a room and think about everything we've ever done wrong. And if you even if you don't pass the math test, you can you'll confess that later. You'll repent from your failure.
Add that to the list, kid.
So it's like a shift in priorities.
All right. Well, in Catholic or in public school, excuse me, you just wear clothes every day. You just like straight up like pick out whatever
or you don't,
clothes
you
have.
You have control
over your
body.
No, you have to wear clothes. You do. Yeah, you have to wear clothes.
Yet another public school misconception.
But it can be any kind of clothes or shoes even, whatever kind of shoes you want.
Wow.
It's really freewheeling. And in Catholic school,
I honestly can't imagine that kind of freedom.
You wear a uniform and you like plan, if you, especially probably if you're a girl, but I think some boys too, you plan your free dress day outfit like months ahead and you never rewear at school the same like shirt or outfit twice. Oh, like, yeah. It's like a thing. Like, yeah. You wore that for free dress, like, in December. Right. There's no way you're wearing that for, like, free dress in February. You've got a whole new thing planned out. You made, like, your mom go shopping.
Five shirts in an entire year, and everyone has to be different.
And you, like, plan it, and you would never wear it twice, and you're, like, hyper-conscious.
And the junior high dances. Oh, God, the junior high dances.
Some awkward
at the Catholic schools were such a big deal. Because, again, it's the only time that you would see people, like, not in their uniform. Like, big deal for what to wear. Yeah. Nap time, I would assume, is a thing that they have at, like, public schools for little kids.
Only people talk about it.
Yeah, like little kids. Yeah, I'm not, like, eighth grade nap time. That'd be awesome. But
love it.
And at a Catholic school, you don't have nap time. I don't know. Maybe they do now. Hippy dippy. But it's like,
oh, I can tell you why.
You have silent prayer, and if you and if you fall asleep,
it's called meditation.
It's not. It's definitely not nap time, right? Yeah. Like, you are trouble if you fall asleep during silent prayer time. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, in Catholic school, not only do they measure your academic success through standardized tests, but, like they do in public school,
right.
But they also measure the length of your skirt, or your knees, or the inches that are showing above your knees.
So many measurements. It's true. It's true.
Yes. I'm sorry, I was a little dress code focused here. Can you tell?
Catholic school... Or no, public school, you get gold stars, right? Like, you've done, done good. You get a shiny gold star. Mm-hmm. Catholic school, you get holy medals and rosary beads. Mm-hmm. I had so many of those shitty plastic rosary beads laying around my house when I was a kid, because it was like, so, like, guest speakers would come and they'd be like, here's some rosaries. Or it's like a special holy day. Get your rosaries. It's like, I didn't bring my rosary to school. And they're like, that's okay. And they open up, like, the closet
the
full
drawer
of shitty plastic rosaries.
Here go.
Here's another one. And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's true. There's always, like, the grab bag of, like, random stuff they got in the mail.
I got no gold stars, but I definitely had a crap ton of rosary beads.
Actually, though, as you say that, it reminds me that sometimes in Catholic school, things are not quite as monitored as they should be. And just to give a little insight, we got a lot of plastic rosary beads, but we also had a priest who liked to go to Mardi Gras in Louisiana and would bring us back, like, throw beads.
Oh, yeah.
And as a kid... I did not know how inappropriate that was for this guy who, to my knowledge, never did anything, like, molesty.
Right.
But was throw beads at, like, elementary school children annually for fun.
Not
and we thought it was great.
Not appropriate.
Yeah.
There is a lot of confusion about Mardi Gras.
It's a blurry
versus,
line.
Yeah.
So there's a little preview for you guys.
Interesting. Interesting.
Right. You got any more?
Oh, yeah. Catholic school or public school, you get detention.
Mm-hmm.
Catholic school, you're just fucking burning in hell. Like, that's just like...
Or there's no scheduled detention. Like, they're just holding you.
They hold you until,
they own you.
Yeah, you
have no rights.
You're clapping those erasers together.
Well, a basic one is in public school, you have, like, winter break and spring break.
Yep.
And in Catholic school, you have
Christmas
break and Easter break and holy days of obligation.
Right. Yeah. And if you get it, like, to get to Easter break, you got to sit through the Passion Play. Like, you have to earn that not spring break, you know?
Yes.
Like,
and for your Christmas break, you will be in the live nativity scene.
Totally.
With some awkward kid or animal thing to make the adults happy. It's very strange.
Yeah. I asked Mrs. Guest for some observations in terms of, like, you know, her experience in pagan education and Catholic education. And she said two things. Number one, Catholic schools are different because there's an extra graduation requirement. Guilt. Like, you have to be shamed in order to work your way through. And then also she said at public school, you know, like, sure, like, people drink, you know, at public school, like students, they go out and they party, but it's generally frowned upon. Catholic school, they just give you free wine. Like,
they line you up and make you ask nicely for it.
Like, from the time that you're a child, they are hitting you with booze during school hours, which is
really
kind of a unique perspective.
Did your elementary school celebrate the Eucharist with both species? Because I don't think mine did.
Mine?
I don't think I really got a lot of blood.
Did
at
not,
mass.
But we had designated, like, school masses because we didn't have a church on site,
so we actually were
a remote location from where the parish was.
True.
The school that Mrs. Guest was working at, it was parish and school were on the same site, and morning masses were just kind of part
of the parish community.
There was always both species there. The last one that I had was that math class, like, there's a whole different angle to math class in Catholic school. I don't know if you've ever heard the joke. about the kid.
Lay it on me.
Kid who's failing out of public school and his parents don't know what's wrong. And he's particularly bad in math class. Like, he just doesn't get math. So they pull him out of public school and they send him to Catholic school. And his grades immediately improve. And he comes home with his first math test and it's like an A. And they're like, dude, what happened? Like, how, you know, like, if this was in you all the time, what went wrong? He says, well, you sent me to my new school, and when I walked in and I saw that they had nailed that guy to the plus sign, they were not messing around. So, like, there's another inspiration for math. I think maybe that's where all my math anxiety came from.
The Jesus on the plus sign?
Yeah, Jesus on the plus sign. I'm like,
there's a little bit of truth to that, though, because you will often see people, like, Catholic schools, I think they're getting better about this now, but at least when we were coming up, they did not really believe in, like, different intelligences or like special needs. It was like, oh, that's just lack of discipline,
right?
Like, we will like drill you through this and you will get it or you won't, and if you don't, then that is where the shame is, because you're a dumb kid,
right?
Or, you know, you probably could get through as much as you could.
We will graduate you with guilt, or we'll kick you over to the pagan school,
But they'll just discipline your ass until you get it.
Oh yeah,
if you're within a pretty wide window.
The root of discipline is discipleness.
Snap.
Yeah.
All right. And
see. Catholic school education.
Woo-hoo, coming through right there. Hey, well, cheers to Catholic schools. Cheers to all those who are doing the hard work in the trenches, and the religious who are aging out, who educated all of us.
Yeah. And cheers to the public school folks that are trying to make it work in an environment that is sometimes challenging to be in. So,
here's to education.
To all the educators. Cheers.
Cheers. All right. So we're kind of wrapping up what we loosely call seasons around here at Church Drunk.
Yeah.
And we're looking ahead to our love to hate season of Lent, I feel. I love it and I dread it and I think it's too long, but I like it so much more than I think I do.
So there's a kind of a momentous occasion going on right now where we're wrapping up quote unquote season 3.
Woo!
There may or may not be a bonus episode somewhere in the not too distant future. We'll find out. But that would actually be a wrap for, like, our first calendar year of Church Drunk. Like, the next time we start a new season, it's going to be a do-over of Lent. We will be, like, old hands at it.
I think both of us are thinking about what we're going to deprive the other of. Oh. I don't know about you, but I've definitely already given it some thought.
I need to go home and make a list.
But, hey, I think it's a good time to thank our listeners. I know there are a few, and we do appreciate you joining us in the ramble.
Way to optimistically pluralize that there, Diz.
I mean, it's a... Yeah. My voice went up a little at the end, but I believe in you.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
And playing along and reading along. And
we hope you guys have enjoyed it, continue to enjoy it, and our plan is to do
let us know if you've had any
season.
Suggestions. We like to hear them. You can tweet at us
at Church Drunk Pod.
Guests in Church Drunk Pod. You can email us at churchdrunk@gmail.com.
Yep.
Or read on the blog, churchdrunk.com. It's pretty church drunky, pretty simple.
There you go. It's church, it's drunk.
Yep.
So, Church Drunk.
Where the workers in the vineyard are high on their own supply.
Hey.